Spurs fans, welcome back to another Spurs and Salsa. I am your host, JD. And with me, as always, the one and only Mouse in the house.
What up, what up, what up?
I don't know if I've told you this, but you're starting to get Twitter famous.
Oh.
Famous, but I know some people that listen to the podcast have brought you up.
Well, you know what the saying goes, whether it's good press or bad press, right? Or no, how does it go? There's all press is good press?
Yeah. And we'll have to get into that. Not for you, but Jerry Jones is really testing that theory this week.
leave Uncle Jerry alone.
I don't know if he's going to agree with you on that this week.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about that.
He'll figure a way to turn it.
Oh, he'll just wait it out. It's February. But, yeah, we'll get into football.
His PR guy, Richa, will work it out for him.
That guy's gone. Yeah. But first, man, we got to talk about the rodeo road trip.
Oh, yep.
Now, you and I don't want to say flip-flops, but we've reevaluated our expectations for this season.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the last two or three episodes, we've talked about tanking, right? Hey, we're not trying to lose on purpose, but we're not mad when they lose.
Yep.
And just when you and I got real comfortable with, hey, this is just a year where we're gonna lose and get a top draft pick, the Spurs go on a winning streak. And not only do they go on a winning streak, but let's be honest, they've looked. Ever since the trade, so we jumped on an emergency podcast to add to last week's episode, and we talked about how they stacked up a bunch of draft picks, and they're building toward the future, and it's exciting. Well, the Spurs have messed around now and have won, I think, three of the last four since we've talked about them.
Yeah.
They beat the Thunder. They lost to the Bulls.
They beat the Pelicans and the Hawks.
Yeah. So they are having a really good rodeo road trip. But more importantly, they're 2-1 since the 3-1 since the trade.
Do they not feel like a different team?
They do.
I don't know if it's weird to say, but it felt like Derek White was like slowing them down or something. They just feel like they have way more energy. And they feel like they're on a different level.
Well, we talked about this before he was traded. I know I brought it up, and I know I think you agree with me. I thought Derek White should come off the bench. Yeah. I thought Vassell was a better option. I thought Derek White, he gives you a lot of the same traits, not as good. He was kind of like I'm not going to be mean. He was just a lesser Murray, right?
Yeah.
Give you good defense, give you, you know, good all around play, but not at Murray's level, obviously. But I thought he'd be a good six man to spell Murray at times. So I'm not going to sit here and say that I knew this would happen, removing Murray. I will say I was excited, not only for a first round pick for Murray, but I'm sorry,
White.
For White.
Yeah.
But I was excited to see Vassell start. I was excited to see Primo get more minutes. Lonnie Walker's back in rotation, and it looks like he's refreshed out of all this. And I tweeted this last night. I was like, I'm telling myself, I'm not going to fall for Lonnie Walker again. I'm not.
Yeah.
But I probably am.
Yeah, I'm the same way. He's officially won me over. I think a couple weeks ago I said at times he feels like the best player on our team, maybe right behind DeJounte, but I don't know. We broke a couple weeks too. He bought a house in San Antonio, so I'm sticking with it. We will make Lonnie an offer, and he'll be a Spur next year.
So are you're buying Lonnie stock again? Is it because of the,
yeah.
So he got 17 against the Thunder. He's had a good rodeo road trip, and he's had a good post White run. But you're right, and maybe that's why they do feel like a different team. Little, you know, very subtle differences. Lonnie Walker, he had 21 against the Bulls. Devin Vassell's had good stats, being, you know, he had one stinker of a game, but he's had good, great, really good stats since White's been gone. Lonnie had 17 against the Pelicans. Like, yeah, they're just playing well. Vassell and Lonnie are playing well, and that's probably why the team feels different. They bring a different skill set than Derek. But yeah, it makes me want to have a run for the play-in. I think they're only two games out of that play-in tournament.
Yeah, you have two games out. I'm so happy with where we're at, right? I don't know if I want top 10 in the West. I like us being where we're at. We get a better pick, generally speaking, but I like the way the team feels. Like, they feel faster. And, you know, when you look at the bottom teams in the West, right, us, Sacramento, OKC, Houston, the Pelicans, we just beat the Pelicans. And out there last night against OKC, we feel like, at least for me, they seem like we're a lot better team than OKC, right? It feels like we're in a better situation. Even though they're only a couple of games back from us, it just feels like as a franchise, we are we're steps ahead of them. And so that was exciting for me.
That's a good way to put it. That's you know, we're not, and that makes sense. I mean, for you saying that, it sounds like not only are we not going to tank, I think we're going to play ourselves out of the top 10 of the draft, which is okay. You want these young guys to have a fight in them. You want these young guys to be trying to win, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now they can see the play-in tournament's very attainable. That's probably their first goal coming out of the All-Star break, is get into that top 10 of playoff spots and get into that play-in tournament. And then we'll see what goes from there. There's 23 games left. They look like a better team, which is crazy, right? Because if you say, oh, the Spurs made a bunch of trades and they've acquired, two first-round picks, they traded away a starter, you would think, oh, that's giving up on the season. And quite the opposite. They've become a better basketball team.
Yeah, we were definitely selling away assets right before the trade deadline.
But how, like, talk about a best-case scenario. You trade away players, you trade away assets for draft picks, and you end up being a better team.
Yeah.
Like, talk about that's the best case scenario. Now, if you wanted a top five pick, it's maybe not the best case scenario, but you at least know who you are and you at least know how this roster fits and works.
Yeah, we're a better team on the court, and I didn't even talk about the first round draft picks that we have sitting in our bank, right?
It's probably going to be three top 20 picks with plenty of salary cap. And I don't want to talk much about salary cap again, because I'm sure the listeners are, we'll get into that in the summer more often than not. But, yeah, this team looks good. It's fun. Like, I'm looking forward to Spurs games. I'm planning my nights to be home for the Spurs games.
Yeah. But they have one more before the All-Star break?
No, All-Star break now. Yeah.
We're done. Okay.
And that's why I wanted to record on Thursday, tonight. Because,
Oh, that's right. Man, so, Thursday.
So, yeah, man, DeJounte Murray's headed to All-Star weekend. It'll be fun to see if he, gets active on social media, showing, the festivities behind the scenes. And it'll be fun to watch him play.
Yeah, it's going to be nice to see a silver and black jersey out there.
Yeah.
Sunday night.
Very nice. It's been a while. I think I saw a stat where we've had the most All-Star players since our existence, which is surprising. But I guess we've been so consistent. There's always been one or two in the game, and there hasn't been for a few years, so we're back. We're back in it. But another player I wanted to talk about was Keldon Johnson.
Mm.
Before the season started, one of our goals was somebody needs to become an All-Star. And I think we were all on the Keldon Johnson bandwagon for that. He was coming off the Olympics. He's always been kind of a blue chip player. He just seemed like the chosen one. And then DeJounte Murray comes out the gates and he hasn't looked back. I think Keldon has been quietly looked over, which was crazy to think of from this summer, but he's having a really good year. He's added a 3-point shot to his game, which I think is the best thing that he could do. Cause you know, we knew that Keldon can attack the rim as good as anybody, but the fact that he's got a really good 3-point shot now, that's a big deal. And I've been wanting to talk about him here for the last few weeks, but other things have been coming up. I just wanted to get your thoughts. He's shooting 42% from three, which is ridiculous. He doesn't shoot a ton of threes, but I think the last couple of games he's let him go a little bit more, and he still has a pretty high percentage. So Keldon very much improved, and we can't overlook that just because Murray stepped into greatness.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, to be an all-star, right, you really got to develop your game. And you hear people, you know, Kobe or Duncan talk about it all the time when they were here. Even I think DJ was talking about it a week or two ago. You got to develop. Every year you got to get a new kind of trick to pull out the hat. And a new rabbit to pull out the hat. And Keldon did it this year with the 3-point. I mean, he's really knocking him down. I don't know if he was just hesitant before. I didn't hear much. I don't know if he was spent some time with Chip in the summer.
I'm sure he did.
Working on the jump shot. I mean, you got to assume he definitely did. But yeah, he kind of sputtered for a little bit, and I feel like he might be turning it back on now. And so that's kind of what I'm hoping for. I mean, his 3-point shot, he's been knocking it down, but just his overall game, I feel like it sputtered for a little bit, kind of a month or so ago.
Yeah, that's fair.
But he's definitely pulling it together.
And again, it's exciting to see. It's just fun to see him slowly grow.
Yeah.
And the guys we've already discussed, Primo is starting to hit a wall.
Yeah, are you worried about him? Do you think it's...
No, he's 19, and he's probably gassed. This is the most basketball he's ever played in his life, as far as games. And maybe they've ran him a little too hard, going, you know, the running joke on here is him going back and forth from Austin.
Yeah.
Now, the telltale sign will be there's a long All-Star break, right? Everyone gets an All-Star break. Do they send Primo to Austin for minutes? Because if they don't, then I would say they feel he's gassed. Keldon hit a similar wall his first year with the Spurs. So I'm not worried. I honestly think it's part of being a rookie. It's part of playing in the grind. You know, you remember in college, they only played 2 games a week.
Yeah.
The games are shorter. Primo wasn't even a heavy minutes guy at Alabama. He wasn't the premier guy there. So a lot of this is just new to him, you know, and his body's got to adjust. And again, if they don't send him to Austin for some work during the All-Star break, I think that's the stamp of, that's the team telling us, yeah, he's a little gassed and he could probably use a break. Now, if they do send him to Austin, then it's just, they feel he's just got the yips and you got to get it out of him.
Yeah. Do you think it's okay to send him to Austin? Are you okay with that after, you know, Derek White leaving?
He's not going to miss any Spurs games.
Yeah.
What I mean is the way they've been using him, they want him to get a ton of minutes in Austin and then bring him back to the main roster to get a few here. It's you know, again, we joke about it, but I would bet he's a little gassed.
Yeah.
But if they feel it's just the yips, then yeah, send him to Austin and let him, you know, work it out himself. Work it out over there. I trust the process. Just as long as he's still in the main roster, I'm okay with what they do. I'll trust them, and they're the ones that are around him. They're the ones that know how he's feeling, how he's looking. So I give them all the power.
Did you see a video about Pop getting on Primo yesterday? Or?
Yes. Jeff Garcia from Ken's 5 and Locked On Spurs podcast, a great guy. We mention him every once in a while. He tweeted that out, the video, so I did see it.
I got a text about it, but I didn't get to. I meant to watch it, but I didn't get to watch it.
It's your basic Pop, you know, baptismal.
Yeah.
It's nearly as bad as he's. I mean, Tony Parker could probably tell some stories.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if Tony Parker's in therapy, like Tony Soprano style.
Well, I'm excited. I'm excited to hear that because, you know, it seems like Pop, for me at least, hasn't been on these young players the way I like them to have been up until this point. So if he's getting after them, whether it's Primo or any of the guys, I enjoy hearing that.
All right. Well, I'll send you the video. And what I'll do is I'll retweet it for our Twitter handle at Spurs and Salsa. By the time you hear this, it'll be on our Twitter feed. If Jeff Garcia posted it on Facebook, I'll put it on our Facebook page also. You can find that at Spurs and Salsa. But yeah, I'll make sure you get your eyes on it. I'll do that. Matter of fact, right now as we record.
Multitasking.
Yep. Any other thoughts? Are you looking forward to All-Star Weekend besides Murray, like just in general? Are you an All-Star Weekend guy? Are you going to kind of just peek in a little? Or you do not care? What are your thoughts?
So I usually, Saturday night for sure, I'm tuned in. Watching the slam dunk competition and 3-point competition. We'll usually watch that. It's the game on Sunday, it depends how it is, depends how it starts. I usually watch the intro, see how everybody is, and maybe watch the first quarter if it, depending on how they're playing. I usually miss kind of the middle. You just got stuff going on. And then by the fourth quarter, I'll put it back on to see. Usually they'll turn up the heat in the last few minutes to really put it on. And that's where I think it gets real fun.
I agree. All-Star Saturday night, it almost feels like it's a bigger deal than the game.
Yeah, I would agree with that for sure. And my house it is.
Yeah, I would agree. My house as well. I do seem to have more fun watching that, and I make it a point to watch that. Now, I'll definitely watch the game now that Murray's in it, but All-Star Saturday night's usually the thing for me. And just so you know, the video is on Facebook, so I'm putting it on our Facebook page right now. And then, of course, again, it'll be Twitter as well. But, yeah, I'm looking forward. I always like the events. I remember one year it was on Valentine's night. So I think I made dinner for my then-girlfriend, who's now my wife. I was like, all right, we're watching this.
That's when she knew.
Uh-huh. She knew what she was getting into.
What did I do for Valentine's? Are you a cooker?
I did make steak. I made New York strips at home.
Oh.
And then Tuesday, she was off. I took a long lunch, and we went and had lunch at Lupita's.
Oh, you mother. Have we recorded that? Have we reviewed that place?
Of course we have, but that's always a place we can revisit. Man, it was just as good as you remember it.
Yeah, I think I'll be there Saturday morning.
There you go.
It's been too long.
How about you? What did you do for Valentine's Day?
Yeah, you know, when we first started dating, we would go out and go to restaurants, and then we probably did it like 2 or 3 years, and then after that, my wife was on the same boat as me, and she's like, forget that. Let's just, you know, quit. Why fight the crowds and stay home? I like to cook. So we usually, just depending on what she wants, the past few years we've been doing steak as well. I kind of got juiced by the butcher at HEB because I went on Monday to go get the steaks, and I usually do like their prime strip, their New York strip.
Yeah.
And it used to be about $15 a pound. Now it's about $18, $19 a pound. And so that's usually what I get, just two of those. and they had some Wagyu sirloin that was, I think it was like maybe 20. And I've had Wagyu at like restaurants that was delicious, but I've had Wagyu from H-E-B and I wasn't too impressed. So the butcher came up and she was asking me if I needed help. And I said, hey, let me ask you something. And I was asking her, I said, I usually get the strip, but that Wagyu, I'm thinking about getting that. And, she was telling me that sometimes the prime meat looks better than the Wagyu, but today the Wagyu looks amazing. I said, all right, give me two of those. And, she said, which two? I said, whichever two you think look the best. So she grabbed them and she put them on the scale. But I was talking about the Wagyu sirloin. That was like $20 a pound. And she grabbed the Wagyu strips. Mm-hmm. So instead of paying like what I thought was going to be $18 a steak, it was like $38 a steak. And she had already grabbed them and put them on the scale. And I didn't want to tell her that's not what I wanted. So I bit the bullet and had to pay way too much for a steak.
Was it good, though?
Cheapy. Yeah, it was delicious.
Okay.
It was delicious. So it's still cheaper than going out to eat somewhere. But when she grabbed it and put it up there, I was...
Your heart dropped a little bit? Like,
yeah. I was like, oh, it's too late now. I'm a sucker. She got me. My wife was joking that she got commission on it. Then that they were telling everybody laughing about me.
Damn.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to...
Laughing in the house of mouse.
Life. And your birthday's coming up.
Yeah, man. About to be a cool 35.
Yeah, right.
On Monday. So
you're old enough,
President's Day.
You're old enough to enjoy the Super Bowl halftime show, so I know you're over 30.
Oh, yeah. Was that, how good was, are we jumping to that, or just...
Let's do it. Let's jump right in, man.
Oh, how hype was your house?
Extremely. Now, yeah. I went to my cousin's party to watch the game.
Okay.
So just to clarify, my cousin is he's actually 10 years older than me, 9 years older than me. So him and his friends, this was like nothing but a G thing was them in college.
Oh man.
So they were hype as well. So I was kind of the youngest of the party. So it was very much a halftime show party. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Nobody asking who that is. Nobody wondering if it's why the older folks are getting pumped. And everybody was hype. It was cool. I think last week I joked about a Tupac hologram.
Yep.
And then the rumor came out there might be one.
Mm-hmm.
When Dr. Dre plays on the piano a little bit of I Ain't Mad At Ya.
Uh-huh. You thought.
I got goosebumps. I don't want to be silly, but I thought, am I going to tear up? Like this? It was just special. Like, one thing I wanted to mention, you know, the performances were awesome. I just love the fact that, you know, we're joking about your birthday, but we're at the age now where our generation is kind of in control. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And you can see it. We get our halftime show. We're getting these reboots of stuff that we like, right? They're doing a Fresh Prince, a different kind of take on the story. But again, it's a Fresh Prince. We've gotten the Saved by the Bell. We've gotten Karate Kid, Cobra Kai. We're getting, it's kind of like our time where you can tell people of our generation are calling the shots in entertainment. So it's a cool feeling right now. And I think another thing is growing up in the 90s with hip hop was very, what would you like, just hood music, right? Like it wasn't mainstream.
No.
So to see Dre and Snoop at the Super Bowl of all things, it was crazy to see how far the genres come and how far they've come, you know?
Yeah.
Cause it used to be, you know, very, very rowdy music, very rebellious music where.
Yeah. Politicians used to break tapes or records and smash them.
And now they're on the same. I mean, and there were some politicians that tried to pretend that they were appalled, but even then people were like, come on, you're a bunch of cornballs. Like just chill. It's halftime. Calm down.
Did you see the videos of Snoop taking a couple of puffs of something right before he went?
Yeah. But it's legal there.
Yeah.
And it's Snoop.
And it's Snoop Dogg. Yep. Yeah. Man. Well, what did you think when they cut down and 50 Cent was hanging upside down?
That was special because he wasn't announced. It was cool because it's one of the biggest songs ever.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people made fun of his weight, but
listen, I want to be, don't tell anybody I'm telling you this, but when we were watching it and they cut down to 50, I didn't think it was him. And I told my wife, I said, oh my God, they're making fun of 50. That's not him. Like I did not recognize him. And she was like, what? And I was like, oh no, wait, that is him. It just, he looked bigger than ever. I guess it was obviously being upside down and we've seen all the fat jokes about him. But then I got hype, right, because I love 50. I'm a 50 guy. And so then I got real excited. But at first, I thought they were making fun of him.
So do you not watch Power?
No, I don't.
So I don't watch it either, but I've seen enough of, you know, clips or interviews that I guess I knew what he looked like now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not like he's been in hiding for 10 years and then he pops out like, what the hell?
Yeah, I mean, I follow him like on Instagram and stuff. I guess being upside down, like,
yeah,
it just I don't know. And I was so hyped, maybe I didn't know what was going on. I was just excited. but I did not think it was him at first.
But it was cool. The only, if I was gonna nitpick anything about the show, I wish Mary J. Blige would have picked a different song.
She's singing the song you're on here talking about that you hated or you're not a fan
of. But I knew that. And that one I'm okay with because
that's the dancer. Remember, I was like, "Hey, yes. She's gonna." That's
everybody else loves that song. Everybody else gets hyped to that song.
What about her and just like falling down on her back?
That one's or whatever. So I don't mind that she picks a slow song to sing, right? But I don't know. Like, that wasn't. Give me some "Not Gonna Cry."
Yeah.
Like if she does that, I think every girl with the age of 37 to 50 is like, yes. Or what's the 411 would have been a lot of fun, right? Take It Real Back.
Yeah.
But it was still great. That would have been my only nitpick is her song, you know, that No More Drama song is, it's all right, but she's got some massive, more, you know, bigger hits I would have liked to have heard. But yeah, all in all, it was great. And I want to see more.
I wanted more. Hip-hop. Yep. That's exactly. When it ended, I was like, "Oh, why is it ending already? I want more."
I want to see more. I want to see them on tour. I know Mount Westmore's coming on tour. Have we ever talked about that?
No.
So we might as well get into it. Don't worry, we'll get to the Super Bowl in a minute, and we're gonna talk Cowboys in a minute. So Mount West. So. Have you ever heard of that boxing app? I think it's called Triller. Or it's some fight app.
Mm-mm.
It's basically like it's kind of like a bootleg DAZN. I think the Paul brothers started off on the app. Anyway, one day they have a concert in between fights. And it's Ice Cube, Snoop Dogg, E-40, and Too Short.
Oh.
They all sing one song. And then they come together and they sing a song that they've recorded together. And it was them announcing that they're a group called Mount Westmore. My wife's very random. She finds the video. I didn't know anything about this. She finds the video and she goes, "Look how cool this is." And this was a couple of months ago. I don't know.
She was schooling you on hip hop.
She's like, "Look how cool this is. What a cool group." If you go on YouTube, you could find it real quick. And I always thought that, because even the new song they put together, I was like, "Oh, that's cool." And then they released it as a single. It's the only song they've ever released together. But my wife's been a fan. And then it was announced they're going on tour and they're coming to San Antonio.
Oh.
So the whole West Coast revival thing. So maybe we'll get more tours. Maybe we'll get 50 and M and Dre and Snoop. But yeah, Mount West. And that's not a paid commercial. They're not paying for
AT&T trying to get some
Center.
Tickets.
Yeah, AT&T Center's not paying for this, but so we'll get a, you know, you can get a piece of the West Coast with Snoop and Ice Cube, but it would be cool if we see more of these guys. I did see Mary J. Blige is performing again at the NBA Saturday night. So maybe we'll get some What's the 411 or not. Maybe she saw my tweets. Maybe she's going to change up the playlist a bit. But yeah, great halftime show. The football game was really good. End of the day, stars showed up, right? Cooper Kupp.
Yep.
Why in the world was Eli Apple guarding Cooper Kupp the entire series?
Oh, I don't know.
He just ate his lunch. And then Aaron Donald takes over on defense. I think that was everybody's – nobody wanted to pick a winner, right? And even we came on here saying, well, Joe Burrow doesn't lose, but their offensive line sucks. It finally bit them in the ass.
Yeah.
But it was a great game. The Bengals played great. They were there to the end. It was cool to see Jalen Ramsey got smoked in this game.
Yeah, he was falling down multiple times. I don't know what –
but it was a good game. What do you think? And I'll get into why, you know, the Rams in a minute. But what do you think of the game as a whole?
Yeah, man. Yeah, I always, as long as it's close, I'm happy. You know, I didn't have a dog in a fight, so I thought the Rams. If I'm looking at them, they're a better team. You know, kind of expected them to win, but Joe Burrow, you know, I'm a fan of his and Jamar Chase, so I would. Love, you know, if either team won, I was going to be happy. But yeah, it was a good game. Came down to the end. That's kind of what you want.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, the Rams pulled it out.
Now, talking about the Rams and what it means for the NFL, whenever a team wins a Super Bowl, there's always the overreaction of how they did it, right?
Absolutely.
So the overreaction right now, especially from Cowboy writers and fans, and the whole thing is, you see the Rams went all in. They traded for all these stars. Why can't Jerry and Steven do that? They'll never win because they just trust the draft and blah, 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 blah. I'm not the biggest Jerry Steven fan as far as how they run the team, but talent's not the issue in Dallas. They had, what, 5 Pro Bowlers? A couple all pros. I don't agree with the sentiment that the Cowboys didn't win because they refused to go all in on talent. I mean, they have just, on paper, their roster is just as good as the Rams. To me, the difference is coaching. Sean McVay does a lot of things creatively on offense. But this whole narrative of Jerry doesn't do enough as far as talent acquisition, to me, is false. I don't know what your thoughts on that are. Do you wish they?
So, you know, I didn't really think of it, look at it that way. I was going to pose the question to you because I know you are, well, let me take a step back. I think Jerry always puts a ton of talent on the field. I think, I mean, if there's a way for Jerry to get talent, he'll figure out a way and he'll put it on the field. And that's why every year I think could be our year, right? That's why we always have the talk. If we were bums, that we wouldn't be in the discussion. So that's part of it. But we have done it recently, for the most part, through draft. And I know you're a big proponent of that. You think that's the way to do it. So I was going to pose that question to you, but because the Rams just proved that there's another way to do it, and it's to trade every pick, basically, you know, trade away everything you got for stars. And you can make it happen. I mean, they haven't had any first round picks since 2016, and their next first round pick is in 2024. And going in, I mean, depending on who comes back, they're probably going to be the favorite again next year from the NFC, right? With Tom Brady out. So I was going to pose that question too, but I think you hit the nail on the head. We had the talent this year to make a run, and we couldn't even win one game.
It'd be different if the Rams were better than the Cowboys on paper. But and here's the thing, the Cowboys are very good at drafting. They drafted a defensive player with their first pick. He's arguably the best defensive player in the world. So you could say, man, the Rams have Aaron Donald. The Cowboys have Micah Parsons. Mm-hmm. Oh, the Rams have Jalen Ramsey. He's an all-pro corner. Trayvon Diggs is an all-pro corner, too. Oh, they got Matt Stafford. They traded for Matt Stafford. He's not better than Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
Oh, they drafted Cooper Kupp. Cooper Kupp's better. Cooper Kupp is better than every receiver on the Cowboys. But the Cowboys aren't lacking receiver, and we'll get into that in a minute. And they've put a lot of resource in it. The Cowboys probably have a better tight end. The Cowboys probably have a better offensive line. They traded for Von Miller for a year, but I think Randy Gregory, and I don't have the stats in front of me, but Randy Gregory's not no slouch either, you know. They paid DeMarcus Lawrence. To your point, it's not, I don't care if you build through the draft or free agency, just build a good team, and they've done that.
Yeah, I think the note to this is it can be done both ways, right? You can do it through drafting, or you can do it through trading away picks. So if we start trading away picks, don't freak out, because the Rams have proved you can do it.
Here's the thing, though. If you trade away picks, your window is smaller, right? You have to
absolutely
do it.
Yeah. You got to
make
risk,
you cannot, big reward.
You cannot take that shot and miss.
Yeah, if you miss, you're screwed.
Yeah.
You're very screwed. Now, for them, they got the ring. I don't know what their free agency looks like next, you know, coming up. They might – you said they'd be the favorites. I don't know what their free agent list looks like.
Yeah.
But I know they're not going to get better through the draft. And, yeah, I know the Cowboys have a bunch of free agents as well. But the Cowboys also have draft picks to fill the holes. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So – here's my approach to this. If I was a GM, my approach to an NFL team would be this. You have to keep your window open as long as possible, because the NFL is such an even playing field. You know what I mean? There's so much parity in the NFL. So you don't want to go all in.
Look at the Bengals.
Yeah. And that's what I mean. There's so much parity in the NFL. My goal would be to always be in the top 6 to 8 teams and just live there. Keep drafting well. Live in the top of the NFL. And you'll eventually break through a few times. Kind of like the Steelers. The Steelers have been really good for, 20 years? However long Ben Roethlisberger's been playing? Yeah. And they've always been a playoff team. They've always been a top 6, top 8 team. And they got 2 rings out of it. The Patriots. The Patriots didn't go out and spend a bunch of money or get these big ticket item free agents. They had the GOAT, and he took less money, and they spread the money around, and they drafted, and they always stayed at the top. The Ravens have done a good job of doing that. They've been able to win a ring. There are certain franchises, the Packers. There's certain franchises that are always good, right? The last 15, 20 years. They're always a playoff team. And I think, to me, that's the goal. Always be a playoff team. Always be right there. And you'll break through once or twice. Now, because of parity, coaching matters more than ever. Because you're not going to out-talent anybody. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
There's enough parity to where coaching does matter. Like, it's not, you know, anyone that's listening to this podcast knows I have a love affair of these offensive-minded coaches, these guys that think outside the box, these guys that borrow, you know, they're students of the game, and they're always looking to reinvent what they do offensively. And I heard a stat where a lot of these offensive coaches – have stolen from the Patriots, and the one thing they stole from the Patriots is using empty back sets. Apparently the Patriots were just notorious for using empty back sets and just exploiting one-on-one matchups. And I think the league average has gone up to like 15, I think it's 15% of snaps are empty back sets. And the Rams are up to 20%. Like, they're at the higher end of doing that. And just little things like that where good offensive coaches steal from other – you know, they you see a good play, you're like, okay, I'm going to learn how to do that. I think that's the big equalizer right now. Look at the Niners. No disrespect to Josh. I look at their roster. I don't think, oh my God, they're stacked.
They overperformed every week in the playoffs.
The fact that they lined up against the Rams, who are stacked, and had a 6-game winning streak on them, that's ridiculous. Because the Rams are well coached, but the Niners are able to make it work. And we all, as NFC fans, we all better hope to God Trey Lance isn't the real deal. Because they've been doing this with subpar quarterback play. But again, coaching matters. Yes, you stack your team, and that's, but in a cap era, teams aren't too far off as far as talent. Coaching is what gives you an edge. Coaching and cheaper labor, which is drafting. You know, Micah Parsons is as good as anybody in football, and he's dirt cheap right now. And you have to take advantage of stuff like that.
So why did we go into the playoffs with one of the most stacked offenses and our offensive coordinator couldn't put up more than 20? Couldn't put up 20 points.
I mean, it was a...
And he's a young offensive mind. Is he not one of those guys you're talking about?
I don't know, because the first 8 weeks was genius. I don't understand where it went wrong, because the first 8 weeks, we would come on here and we were like, oh my God, Kellen Moore is calling perfect games.
Yeah.
I mean, he even beat the Vikings without Dak Prescott calling an amazing game. I don't know what changed. I don't know if it was the Dak injury. I don't know if it was Zeke's injury. I don't know. I really don't know. Now, another thing I did learn, and maybe not learn, but something that I think is being brought to the open as far as how to win football games, you lean on your star players. If the Rams were struggling offensively until they just said, you know what, we've got to scheme Cooper Kupp open.
Yeah.
Aaron Donald's got to take over the game. You know, so, and again, it goes back to equalizers, right? If everybody has the same cap space, but you're able to land a special player, use that special player to your advantage. We talked about the 49ers, right? How they scheme enough to win. They've decided, look, we're going to just get Deebo Samuel the ball in the most creative ways possible. Whatever it takes, we're going to run screens, we're going to run reverses, we're going to use him in the backfield. I think that's...
Put the ball in his hands.
That's the one thing. So if some fans are going to say, you see, the Rams, you got to trade all your picks and just go out and get stars. That's true to a point, but what you got to do is scheme for your stars. Cooper Kupp was a draft pick. Cooper Kupp is amazing. Aaron Donald's a draft pick, but...
There's more than one way to skin a cat, right? So however you want to put talent on the field, there's different ways to do it, but they got to be coached up right.
Lean. And that's why I'm frustrated, because it will lean in more to the Cowboys. Jerry Jones on DallasCowboys.com made a comment that Dan Quinn probably stuck around because he sees an opening to, paraphrasing that, maybe an opportunity to be the head coach here. And then Mike McCarthy kind of had to go defend himself and talk about it on the Rich Eisen show. And he says Dan Quinn wanted to leave because of the uncertainty with the head coaching position at Dallas. It's just a mess. And I don't like Jerry doing press. And everybody that listens to this show knows I'm not the biggest McCarthy fan, but you can't cut him off at the knees either. You know what I mean? He's either your guy and you're rolling with him, or if you're trying to tell him through the media you're on the hot seat, if he's on the hot seat, then just fire him. Nothing good ever happens from – I mean, when coaches are on the hot seat, they usually just – they don't last the next year. So just cut bait. I hate – it's starting to feel like we're going to waste 2022 with this – with McCarthy. And again – I'm not even talking about how I don't like McCarthy. I'm talking more of Jerry's made up his mind, and it feels like he's just waiting for Sean Payton. He's going to wait a year for Sean Payton for the price to go down maybe. maybe not have to give the Saints more draft picks if you wait a year. I hate that. I do not want to flush a season down the toilet. Because I just talked about you want to be one of the better teams and keep that window open as long as possible. I hate the mindset of, well, McCarthy's a lame duck coach and 2023 will be Sean Payton or Dan Quinn or whoever. I hate that. Either give him the authority and the confidence to do it or just move on. None of this half-ass shit.
Yeah, I mean, we know Jerry shouldn't be talking to the press, right? Usually good stuff doesn't come out of it, whether it's just radio shows or whatever he does.
Yeah.
I think he's a lot of blabber. Like, he talks just to talk. I don't put much weight into it. Do I think Jerry's hedging his bet and hoping Sean's available next year and that's the plan? Yes. Do I think that Jerry's going to do everything he can to make Mike McCarthy and the Cowboys successful this upcoming season? Yes. Right. I think Jerry wants to win. So if he's going to do everything he can, and if he can win a Super Bowl this year, great. But if something falls through, there's no doubt in my mind that Sean Payton is his backup plan.
And, backup plan or plan?
No, I don't think it's his. I think it's his backup plan because I think he wants to win. If he can win a Super Bowl this year with McCarthy, he'd trade that for anything. So I don't think he wants to have to wait to Sean Payton. Now, if Sean Payton was available, I think he would have somehow made it work this year for Sean Payton. But I don't think Sean Payton was ready. I think Payton wanted to take the year off or, you know, that I don't think he was really available to us. So I think Jerry's hoping and he's going to do everything he can to win this year. But if not, Payton's there in the win. He's waiting for that call, hopefully.
Are you?
But yeah, Jerry should not be talking. You know how it is. I mean,
he won't be now.
Get us into trouble.
I think he's going to take a break from the media.
Well, that's
cheerleading scandal.
A reason. Yeah, that's
yeah,
a
but
reason.
I think he'll stay. I think he'll stay away from the radio for a while.
Yeah.
But are you trying to troll me with the whole Jerry does whatever it takes to win?
No, I know you don't believe that. I know you
because
don't believe that.
He won't even put curtains up.
I knew you were going with the curtains.
It's just a prime example of.
That's not the reason we're not making a run in the playoffs this year.
Oh, I'm not. Yeah, but
that's not preventing us.
He won't even put curtains up. He won't hire a GM. He won't
because he thinks he can do it. I don't blame him. I'm a confident guy. I think I can do most things better than most people.
But if you couldn't get it done for 26 years, would you be smart enough to be like, you know what?
No, because I think I'm okay. This is my year. Okay, we got Will McClay. We're putting the right people around me. Who can do it? Who knows the Cowboys better than Jerry Jones? Nobody. That's what he thinks.
I don't think he cares so much about winning. I really think
I truly cannot believe you think that.
Because there's like no proof. There's no proof of that. But a wise man just said on this podcast. Jerry just says things. You don't always believe him.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole, oh, I would write the biggest check ever to win. That's just something to say. The proof's in the pudding. Like,
do you see that? Like the hurt in this guy when we don't win. Like his year, he feels that clock ticking. Like he can hear every. He feels it. He knows. There's nothing more that man wants. Then to get another Super Bowl.
That's not true. That's not true.
I can't.
There's no proof of that. The curtains is a prime example. He says it looks too cool. It looks too cool. I'm not going to put curtains.
If he thought the curtains would win him a Super Bowl, he'd put curtains up. But they don't. That's not true.
Every cowboy has complained. And he says, no, I'm not going to give up the way it looks for that. That's exhibit A of why.
If you told Jerry you put up curtains, you're going to win a Super Bowl, he would do it. But that's not preventing us from winning a Super Bowl, and that's not going to make us win a Super Bowl.
But
so
what I'm saying, is it would help them in games. An owner that wants to do whatever it takes to win, it's those little things. The Spurs ownership does whatever it takes to win a basketball game. It doesn't matter if it's, hey, don't let the players talk to the media. Hire Chip England to teach them how to shoot. Any little thing the Spurs have at their disposal. Jerry's like, it looks cool. Just deal with it.
It's hard to use the Spurs.
You know what Wuzier even said, right?
Cheetah.
There's a different culture. The Cowboys don't have a winning culture. They have a baby culture.
Yeah, because he was saying, you know, there's no indoor field. You know, it's just hard work, which is true. And the thing is that we're never going to get away from that. The Cowboys will always be America's team. The lights will always be bigger in Dallas than it is anywhere else.
Oh, yeah, but that's another subject. I don't buy the whole Jerry would do whatever it takes to win. He won't even hire a GM to win. He won't even put curtains to win. He won't even – I mean, there's – when it was – when his team in the 90s was stacked to the gills, he pushed for a salary cap because it was better for money. It was better for the league. He puts the league ahead of the Cowboys. And that's all – you know, that's his business. That's his money. But I just roll my eyes when I see the whole, oh, he would do anything to win. There's no proof of that. There's nothing that I ever thought to myself, oh man, he really wants to win. It's always business as usual.
Well,
what has he done recently, or what is there a moment when you're like, oh man, he did this, he really wants to win?
Well, it's like, I mean, what can he do? Putting up curtains, if you can give me any, I don't buy putting up curtains is gonna him showing us that he doesn't want to win. Like that,
it's
that
a start.
Is just, it's like a reach, right? You're just reaching for something there. I don't know if I can tell you an exact time.
Because it's a prime example.
It's not going to give us a Super Bowl. You can't say this is the reason, but it's not going to give us what we're talking about.
But it helps them win.
It's not going to – I don't know if it's going to – is it really going to help us win? Do we know that?
It's
like an overreaction. It's one time – that it's affected us since that's maybe a couple of times, but this is more recently.
Exactly.
It's just this one time that affected us, and now everybody's using that.
If he was like, oh, I'll do whatever it takes to win, there'd be some damn curtains. If it was one time. If it was one time. Because you love him. He just doesn't do it. There's nothing he does that makes me think, oh, man, he's serious about winning. It's more like, okay, he thinks it looks cool, so he's going to keep it. And I live with it. I just roll my eyes when the whole, oh, I would do anything to win. No,
I believe him. I see his face. I've said it before. I trust my eyes.
You see
right?
his face.
I see him. You hear people talk, whether it's like Mike or heard Emmett talk about that exact thing, that how bad he wants it. Like the people that are close to him know he wants it. You see how upset he gets. Look how emotional he is. He gets so fucking pissed. Excuse me. He gets so mad. There's no doubt in my mind that he'll do anything to win a Super Bowl. That's just the way I feel. And I'm not alone.
The proof's against you.
Because of curtains?
Because of anything. Hey, Jerry, you should hire a GM. Nah, I like doing it.
Because
hey,
he thinks he can do that. Okay, so now your issue maybe is maybe he has too much confidence in himself. He thinks he's the best option at GM.
So he's either the dumbest person in the world, which I know he's not.
He's not.
Or he just likes to do things his way. And it's his team,
absolutely.
His money. It doesn't mean he wants to win. It just means he likes doing it his way.
Yeah, for sure. He absolutely likes to do it his way.
And that's okay, but that shows me
he thinks his way's the best.
He wants to win, but on his terms. That's different than I will do anything to win. Like Bill Belichick will do anything to win. They cheat their butts off. They cut players before they are expensive.
His ego was too big for Tom Brady. He wouldn't do anything to win because he would have kept Tom Brady. But his ego was too big.
He won 7 rings. Isn't it 7 or 6?
Yeah. Do you not want to win another one?
He spied on the Bengals to win a game. That's doing anything to win.
So you want Jerry hid a man taking pictures of his daughter's underskirt to keep the press down.
Yeah, he won't even do that.
He's doing that. He kept it a secret.
That's what I'm saying. He did that because that guy has dirt on him. He won't even step up for his daughter. You think he wants to win? He'd rather just put out the Cowboys for himself. He did not. How in the world does keeping a peeping Tom help them win the Super Bowl? That's stupid. All that means is that guy knows where the bodies are buried.
Oh, absolutely. There's no doubt, bro.
Jerry was like, oh, this guy knows everything I've done. That's another example of Jerry. Jerry's out for himself. Jerry wants to make money. Jerry wants to talk about how the Cowboys get ratings, how the stadium looks cool, the light comes through the windows. Jerry wants to – he didn't even call the cops for those cheerleaders because he's like, man, this guy knows too much about me.
Oh, for sure. No doubt.
He should have fired that guy years ago if it was about the team. Instead, he's like, oof, that guy knows too much about me. We're keeping
him. But it's not like that guy's going to win Super Bowls for him, right? So keeping him on is not going to do anything there. But, yeah, there's no doubt in my mind that Rich knows where all the bodies are buried.
You know, oh, yeah.
He's been there too long. You don't stay with Jerry Jones that long. I mean, he's been there since Jimmy came over, right? And so you don't be part of that organization that long. They're thick as thieves. They're family. Yeah. So he absolutely knows where everything's at. And
yeah,
good old boy covering up for his brother.
Look,
that's not his brother.
I've learned to live with Jerry. I think there's things he does right. Letting Will McClay do a lot of the work has been good. I hate the notion that he was so short-sighted with his coaching hire. It had to be a coach that has been a coach before. That's why he's stuck in this. That's why we're stuck where we're at with this team and with this coach. I hate going into when you're hiring the most important position in your organization. And you pigeonhole yourself. Well, it's got to be someone that's coached before. Like, why? It's like if I told you, hey, I want you to drive my house, but I want you to drive with your feet. Why? Why? Like, why? He could have said, I prefer a coach that's been a head coach, but I'm open to see who else is out there. But I just hate that. It was, between him and Marvin Lewis? Like, we were screwed.
Yeah.
We were screwed. Or we would have had Lovie Smith. We'd be stuck like the Texans. Like, we just were in a – it just puts us in the pigeonhole. And it's silly. And the Cowboys – I was hoping they'd over-talent everybody this year. And it's just not
Which we did.
Happen. No, we – wild card round.
No, I mean, we out-talented them, I think, for sure. I mean, we were definitely one of the most talented.
Yeah.
We just underperformed.
So that's where the Rams went all in. The Rams went all in when they got talent, and they also went for a coach. Now, Sean McVay was nobody's first choice, but the Rams were open-minded to interview him, and now they had a parade.
Was there anybody at that parade?
Maybe like 10 people. One girl fell off a stage, I think.
Really?
Yeah, Matt Stafford saw her and said, somebody get that. You got to see that video, bro. He was like, I don't give a crap that she just broke her back.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he just turns his head like, oh, I'm out of here.
he was feeling real good.
Man, he was chugging that Don Julio, wasn't he?
Yeah. Did you see Tom Brady hit him up?
Yeah, tell him to drink some water.
Yeah, drink some water.
Dude, how does Tom Brady... We all should hate Tom Brady, right?
Yeah.
He wins a lot. He should be cocky. He's married to a model. He carries himself as very, Hollywood. Yet, you put a mic in front of him or you give him a Twitter account, and he's very cool. Like, he's just a fun, nice guy.
He's one of the bros.
Yeah, he's really cool. Like the whole man in the arena thing, just everything about him, he's just cool.
Yeah. Throwing the Lombardi trophy across the water to the other boat last year.
Could you imagine if he would? He's the only person alive that could have gotten away with dropping it in the ocean.
Yeah.
And he was plastered. Like, they had to carry him off the parade. And people were like, that's good old Tom. Yeah. Oh, Tommy. Including me, like, go get you some, Tommy.
Yep.
But yeah, man, that guy could do no wrong.
Well, but, in terms of the Cowboys, we got Mike McCarthy's make or break year for sure.
Yeah.
Cowboys put out a hype video, you know, the season starts now or started last week.
Yeah.
Or a couple days ago, whatever it is.
So I wanted to break down, we got real deep into Jerry and we'll talk Cowboys salary cap issues throughout the next couple of weeks. But I wanted to talk about one person in particular. Because he's been the subject of the Cowboys prior to Jerry saying, you know, doing Jerry things. But before all that, the hot topic was Amari Cooper.
Yep.
Do you keep him? Do you cut him? I have plenty of thoughts on this, but I want you to go first. I want to know where Mouse stands.
My gut tells me we're going to be different here. I think.
Okay.
So get ready.
Okay.
So I think we need to figure out a way to keep Amari Cooper. He's the only true number one we have. We saw when he was out, you know, CeeDee Lamb's great, but he didn't step up. Gallup is coming off his injuries. He came out today. He's going to be available in August, or he'll be ready in August. But I'd be surprised if he's playing week one for us in September. So I think unless we bring in a free agent, I don't know what free agent wide receivers are out there, but unless we bring in a true number one, we need to figure out a way to keep Amari and get him the ball, right? That's half the thing. Having Amari out there is one thing, but Kellen or Mike McCarthy, whoever it is, we got to figure out a way to get him the ball. You look at the two Super Bowl teams and they had star wide receivers, right? You got to have that guy that you feed the ball to. You talked about it earlier. Scheme for him, just get him the rock. And, you know, they had Cooper Kupp on one side, Jamar Chase on the other. Amari Cooper is arguably one of the best route runners in the game. He just doesn't get the rock. So pay the man and get him the rock, and I think we'll be in good shape.
So why do you think he's our number one? Just out of curiosity.
Because I saw what we looked like without him. So CeeDee could not get open. Now, I guess I can take a step back and say, is it the same issue with Kellen? Is it Kellen not scheming to get him open? But my gut tells me, from what I saw that week and a half, Amari is our only true number one.
Okay. Just give you some stats. Okay. Amari Cooper had 865 yards receiving this year.
Yep.
68 receptions.
Yep. Which is horrible.
Yeah. CeeDee Lamb, 79 receptions, 1,100 yards.
Yep.
CeeDee Lamb's our number one now.
No. We got to figure out.
Numbers don't lie.
He can't be our number one. We saw. Do you remember that game with him as our number one? The guy couldn't get open. He's great, but we have to have a true number one. And unless he makes some great strides over the break, over this offseason, CeeDee wasn't a number one and hasn't been a number one.
But he got more yards than Cooper, more touches. What does Lamb have to do that Cooper's doing? Like, I don't understand.
So
CeeDee Lamb might not be great, but he's already better than Cooper.
That has a lot to do with our offense and who Dak's throwing it to and how Kellen is scheming. Like, if you were to ask me, I can have for one season CeeDee Lamb or Amari Cooper, I'm taking Amari Cooper.
Wow.
I think he's a better wide receiver than CeeDee Lamb is. Now, we're talking 5 years, right? Cooper probably doesn't have five more great years in him, and CeeDee may. But if we're talking a year, I'm picking Amari Cooper.
But if we're talking 2021, Lamb was already better.
He had more yards. You can't just you use these numbers. You can find numbers to paint your picture, right?
But yeah, it's called stats.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean it's accurate, right?
The stats aren't accurate.
No, it doesn't mean it paints a real picture, I guess is what I should say.
Okay.
Right? People say we're the best offense in the league, and yet we couldn't win. We couldn't put up 20 points in the playoffs.
Okay.
Right. So Kellen's got to find a way to get Amari involved. That's where it boils down to for me. And having Amari on one side taking the double team and then CeeDee able to get open, that doesn't mean CeeDee's a better wide receiver. Right? I remember Cole Beasley outshining people back in the day because he was a slot receiver and getting more touches. That's just because of where he played and the coverages he faced. Huh? Yeah, he is pretty good. He's not a number one.
Oh, I know. I'm just saying. Here's the thing. CeeDee Lamb's a Pro Bowl receiver. CeeDee Lamb has more yards. CeeDee Lamb has more receptions.
And because he played opposite. He played opposite of Amari. We saw the game when Amari's not there. I wish, if you would have given me a little bit of a heads up, I could have put up my stats.
We could talk next week about that game.
And see where, what CeeDee looks like without Amari.
Okay.
Because that's a whole different story.
So, Lamb's got more receptions, more yards. Lamb is the Pro Bowler of the team. I don't think Amari Cooper's a bad player. But Amari Cooper loves to disappear, right? That was his MO in the Raiders.
Yeah.
That's been his MO in Dallas. He's gone missing at times. I'm gonna play devil's advocate. For argument's sake, I'm gonna pretend that everything you said was correct. Kellen Moore didn't scheme for him. Dak Prescott didn't throw to him. Now, Lamb only had 16 more targets. So the whole Dak didn't look his way or Kellen didn't, that's a little inaccurate. It's for 16 targets total. But anyways, let's pretend what you said is 100%. Okay. Dak Prescott is a little bit at fault. Kellen Moore is a little bit at fault. Shoot. Maybe Mike McCarthy is a little bit at fault. Guess what? They're all going to be in Dallas next year. Dak Prescott's going to be in Dallas next year. Kellen Moore's going to be in Dallas next year.
Yep.
Mike McCarthy's going to be in Dallas next year. So why would you pay $20 million for 800 yards receiving? Even if it's not Cooper's fault, even if everything you said is true, it's not working. It's not working in the sense of you're not getting anywhere near your money. Now, here's another thing. Amari Cooper's contract was written to where you can cut him and have zero dead dollars. Like the Cowboys, I'm going to give Jerry Jones credit right now. That's a brilliant, or Steven, whoever wrote that contract, that's a brilliant contract to give you an out. Because it feels like the Cowboys said, we're going to give Cooper 2 years. And we're also going to have CeeDee Lamb. Now, they didn't know Lamb would – maybe they did. Maybe they didn't know Lamb was going to fall to him in the draft. But regardless, maybe they fell into some stupid luck. But it worked out perfect for the Cowboys. They had 2 years to develop the first-round draft pick. And if he surpasses your $20 million receiver, you can cut the $20 million receiver without penalty. Whether they're geniuses or whether it's dumb luck, it has worked out perfectly for Jerry Jones and the Cowboys. They can cut bait with Cooper, still have their Pro Bowl receiver, and they can draft. You can draft someone in the first 3 rounds to give you 800 yards receiving, to be quite honest. And if the Cowboys were in great caps, if they were in great cap situation, maybe I would listen to your argument more of you got to keep Cooper, but they need to get under the cap and they have a ton of free agents that they need to keep. Some you might, and we'll run down the list next week, but with CeeDee Lamb already having more yards and taking over the number one spot, with everything you just said, you made a good point, but those guys are back. Now, if Sean Payton was coming in and he said, oh, no, keep Cooper because I have big plans for him, then you keep him or you make it work. But he's not. Everything lines up great.
You're making the assumption that Mike McCarthy and Kellen can have a conversation and figure out a way to better use Cooper.
They could. So
you're telling me, you're telling me there's, or that they lack that much creativity that they cannot get Cooper involved and he's going to be set for another 800-yard season. Like, if Jerry has that conversation with them and they say, sorry, boss, I can't figure out a way to get one of the best route runners in the league the ball, then cut him. I'm cool with that. But there's a bigger problem if that's the case.
I mean, maybe, but even Cooper's best year ever was 1,189. His best year ever, regardless of who was the coordinator, who was giving him looks, who wasn't. CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee Lamb's already matched that in his second year.
He's been playing opposite of Coop. That's like a huge variable that you're just going to take out.
Okay, but
that's huge.
But tough decisions have to be made. Would you rather have Cooper or Randy Gregory? Would you rather have Cooper or other players that are free agents? And again, we'll run through the free. What I'm saying is,
and that I think that's
decisions have to be made. Decisions have to be made.
Yeah.
DeMarcus Lawrence. Would you rather have Cooper or DeMarcus Lawrence? I'm not saying Cooper sucks.
Decision.
I'm not.
That's a better question.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. There's going to be tough decisions this offseason, and you pair up the fact that CeeDee Lamb's already better, in my opinion. Numbers are better. The fact that Cooper's contract makes it extremely easy to cut, and the fact that wide receivers are so easy to draft. It's just a no-brainer to me. It's just easy money. The Cowboys are going to have to make tough decisions. I think this one is the easiest of the tough decisions.
I find it just a little not funny, but I feel like we've had conversations throughout the league throughout this season where you've talked about how CD's just not that guy we thought he was.
Oh yeah,
like, I feel like I have texts from you about that.
Yeah, I'm not saying so he's amazing. He's already better though than Lamb. I mean, and then
so he's not the guy we thought he was. And yet we're going to run with him as our first, as our one?
Well, Cooper's not the guy we thought he was. I mean, $20 million for 800 yards. Lamb has already reached. So everything I said about Lamb, right? He has too many drops. He not consistent. Even with everything I just said, he's already matched Amari Cooper's best season ever. Now, also,
what's Gallup do? Gallup's a free agent, right?
He wants to get paid, but that injury is going to be weird.
If again, there's a lot of variables, who are we going to pay, who are we not going to pay?
Yeah.
If we can figure out a way to keep Cooper and cut Gallup, I think that's the better option without a doubt.
But it's because not even an option. Gallup's not even on the books. We're over the cap without Gallup.
We talk about every year. Oh, Cowboys are in salary cap hell and jail. But every year, what we renegotiate and we find $30 million. Like, they will figure out a way to get us under the cap and to make it work. We say every year, Cowboys are one of the most talented, almost every year, one of the most talented teams in the league. And every year, we're in salary cap jail.
Yeah, so by letting people walk.
They'll figure it out and they'll make it work.
Letting Cooper go helps makes it really easy to figure it out.
So what?
Just like letting Byron Jones walk helped figure it out.
Yeah. What do we think?
Robert Quinn figured it out. We let people go all the time.
Yeah. What worries me is that I look how bad our offense was this year with Cooper, and you're expecting us to do better next year with Gallup. He's probably going to get like 14 mil.
It doesn't have to be Gallup. You can draft, draft someone to give you 800 yards.
So we're going to go in with like Wilson as our two and CD as our one?
You could.
That worries me.
Wilson had a whopping 200 less yards than Cooper with 40 less targets.
It's where they play. It's so different. It's so different. You cannot say that. It is so different.
I'm just telling you, that worries me. Not giving you any. Here's the thing. people love to bag on Zeke. Oh, he's not worth the contract. He's not worth the contract. Okay, but it's not cost efficient to cut Zeke yet. Cooper, it's extremely easy. The Jerry Jones didn't completely trust Amari Cooper, and he put this out. And I applaud him. I just said a bunch of bad things, but I'm not like this anti-Jerry guy. This was a good quest. This was a very good contract. Good job, Jerry Jones. When Jerry Jones doesn't want to put up curtains, yeah, I'll yell at him.
Why am I showing it $6 million in dead money if we cut him?
It's not. It's pretty much clean.
Okay.
It's the easiest one. Like DeMarcus Lawrence, they'd have to restructure or cut. But then you have a huge hole at defensive end. And Randy Gregory is a free agent. I would rather have Randy Gregory than Amari Cooper.
It's up to them how they work out this.
Who would you rather
roster.
Have? Who would you rather have?
Who? Between who?
Randy Gregory and Amari Cooper.
Well, I guess I'd probably rather have Randy Gregory.
And that's what I mean. I, if Cooper was
But not
cheaper,
for 20 mil.
Yeah, whatever his market is. But if you cut Cooper, then you probably have the money to keep Randy Gregory. Would you rather have Amari Cooper or DeMarcus?
My stomach would not feel good going into next year with CD and Wilson as our 1 and 2.
But your tummy's not gonna you're gonna have to work. The Cowboys have to make some tough decisions. They're gonna hurt your little tummy. There's gonna be things that are rough, and that's what I'm saying. Of all your little tummy rumblings, I think this is the best option. Receivers grow on trees in college,
but we just don't have any.
We think CeeDee Lamb is a bust, and he's already at 1,100 yards receiving. That's how good receivers are coming out of college.
He's not a bust.
But I'm saying we're not over the moon for him, and he's put up 1,100 yards. If you want to talk about creativity, go back to creativity.
Our first round pick next year has got to be a wide receiver.
No, our first round pick's got to be whatever we let go. Receivers, you
so
can
if
grab
it's Cooper.
Third, you can
so
grab
if it's Cooper.
Second, I wouldn't mind a receiver in the first round just so your little tummy is okay. But if it's a second rounder or a third, I'm cool with that too. Devin Duvernay was drafted in the third round, same time as Lamb. He was in the Pro Bowl. It's easy to draft receivers. It's so
you're not getting
easy.
Me excited for this upcoming season, Jandar.
Honestly, I'm good with it. I am good with a rookie receiver as your three. I'm good with having Gregory instead. I love pass rush. Pass rush, if one thing us Cowboy fans know, it is hard to draft really good pass rushing defensive ends. Really hard. My tummy, what makes my little tummy hurt would be losing Randy Gregory or Lawrence. I love that we can line up every Sunday and Dan Quinn says, well, I got Lawrence on one side, Gregory on the other, and then I can play around with Parsons.
Yeah, but we just saw what happened. We couldn't even get a win in the first round.
You think it's because of the
it's our offense. It's because of our offense. We got to
make
the
defense
work. Look how good the defense was. We still couldn't do it.
But they won't be that good with Gregory, without Gregory or Curse.
I don't know.
I don't think the offense takes a big step back if you lose 800 yards receiving and replace it with a rookie that gives you 700 or something. You know, if anything, right. Your whole creativity talk needs to go to Lamb. Lamb's the explosive one with the ball in his hands.
When he's catching it.
If you want Kellen and McCarthy to be creative, they need to be creative with Lamb. Matter of fact, CeeDee Lamb was on an interview saying he flat out asked Deebo Samuel about that. What is your position? What do you call yourself? And Lamb said, I would like to be used like that. Cooper's a route running receiver. I mean, He is what he is. You're not going to get creative getting it to Cooper. I mean, he's just, he's not that kind of guy.
Now, I'm not talking about, like, end arounds to Coop. I mean, it's
I'm not saying anything. Like,
emo
he's not
type
someone...
of guy. You got, you do got to scheme for him. Like, you got to get creative and scheme for Coop. You got to feed him the rock and you got to give him the ball early because when he plays well, the offense is usually moving.
And again, even when he's healthy, even when he's having a good year, he's going to disappear a few games a year, you know? Isn't he the one that has, like, horrible road stats? Like, you should have never given him money, but you put yourself in a great position. Great position to cut bait.
Then don't they have to cut him, like, in March, like, in a couple of weeks?
No, if it's past June 1st, they save more money that way.
Oh, it was. I thought it was an early cut.
That's the beauty of it, too. You can... Let's see how the draft folds. If something falls to them and like, man, this guy'd be perfect for 800 yards. Then it makes it easier.
I trust That's, Uncle Jerry to put the best talent on the field with what we got.
Yeah. And I'm, again,
I don't trust CD as our one with what I saw this year.
He's already the one. It's just, you're just going to have to deal with it.
They're not scheming. Nobody's like, hey, we're scheming for. Defenses aren't scheming for CD. They're trying to take Cooper out the game.
I'd have to watch the All-22 to see if that's true. And I know, I'll tell you this, I know the All-22 is not kind to CD Lamb. I'm not saying CD Lamb's amazing. I'm just saying he's already your most productive receiver, and he's dirt cheap. And your super expensive receiver he's not outplaying Lamb. And
now
it's extremely easy to cut him. Like,
What about taking a page out of the Spurs book? Is there any way to trade Coop?
Maybe. It's just, it's going to be hard to say, hey, who wants an overpriced receiver? Like, it's just, I don't know if anyone's like, yeah, give that guy to me. But maybe is Bill O'Brien still with the Texans? That would have been nice.
Yeah.
He would do it. But yeah, I'm sure they'll put him out there. I just don't know if that's maybe DeMarcus Lawrence, but he makes a lot of money too. I hope that they're smart enough to look for those options.
If we cut Coop, we better have a good plan in place, right? That's always what it's like when we talk head coaches. If we're going to fire our head coach, we better have a better one waiting in the wind. So if we cut Coop, I don't know if I like, unless you bring in somebody else that's another CD, right? If we have two CDs, that may equal a CD and a Coop. But if we just have CD and Cedric Wilson and Noah Brown, I'm not a fan of that.
Would you feel okay if they took a receiver in the first round?
I don't know.
Would it make you feel better?
I mean, I guess it depends who it is, but I don't want to be forced to take a receiver in the first round. Like if you cut Coop, I mean, I guess if you're saying it's a post June 1st cut, then you may know, but
yeah, exactly.
I don't know if I want to take a route. I mean, not best available, right? But I really don't want to have to take a wide receiver in the first.
Here's the thing: they're going to have a lot of holes. You're not going to feel great about something on this team. Connor Williams is a free agent. I know people hate him, but there's a hole of guard, right? Your center sucks. If you lose this is one thing Jerry did not do well. All the safeties are free agents this year.
Yeah. A bunch of 1 year deals.
So you're going to be, there's a hole there that you got to fill. You know what I mean? This draft's going to be about taking the best available player, but those are also going to be hole fillers.
That's why I don't want to be forced to take a wide receiver.
But again, you can use Coop's money and fill a few holes in free agency. You know what I mean? So let's say, like I just said, guard might be an issue or safety. What if they said, all right, we're going to take Coop's money and bring back the safeties. Now you don't have to worry about that. You have a hole at receiver, but now you've used that money to fill other holes. That's what I mean. It's a lot of money and it's an easy out for the Cowboys, and he's not living up to it. It just makes too much sense for me. You're going to have to make tough decisions, and that's the easiest of the tough decisions. Very easy.
Well, we got a few more months to ponder this because...
Yeah, and we have the draft before we... Again, they don't have to cut us after June 1st. So...
I see what you're saying, and maybe not. I'm not as hard set on keeping Coop, but I don't like going in with CD as our one.
He already is, though. We just did it, Mouse.
You can't. I feel like we're. You can't say that he's playing the opposite of Cooper. It's so different. It's completely different.
No. It's him being the one. But he was already rated better even going into the season. He just matched. He pretty much just matched Cooper's best year ever as a pro. And that's with us being disappointed with them.
Well, I hope you're right. If we cut Coop, I hope you're right, JD. Because if not, your boy Wonder Kellen Moore needs to be hung outside. Or cut, I should have said. And Mike McCarthy needs to be gone.
Okay, I'm already on that train, but we're not doing it, so. We got to do a plan B. And that's another thing. Maybe Cooper is underutilized, but this coaching staff's not changing. So
yeah, they can change the way they coach. If this is the young hot shot next head coach.
But I think Lamb's the one you can get more creative with. You can get the ball in space. You can, you know, he's a deep threat. If they're going to change, it'll be more beneficial to Lamb.
Yeah, and I think you get him involved the way you get Deebo involved.
And I think if they do that, Lamb becomes a really, really good. I mean, he snuck into the Pro Bowl because of injuries, but it's still a Pro Bowl, right? I think if they make a few tweaks and get him involved a little bit like Deebo, he becomes a legit Pro Bowl type player. And he's got to want to do it too. But I just want to get into that because I know it's a big topic and it's not going to go away.
No.
But I think we'll know more about their plans when free agency starts. And of course the draft. But until we're watching the draft, Mouse.
Yep.
The world wants to know, what are you watching now?
How do you want to get into it? I feel bummed. Like my energy is depleted after that conversation.
Why?
You do that to me. We can't talk Cowboys anymore until like the end of the podcast going forward because I don't want to be sad. So I'm watching the new episode of 1883 on Paramount Plus. Did you watch it? Oh yeah, we kind of talked about it. Did anything stand out to you that was kind of funny?
Without giving away some spoilers.
Yeah, we talked about something funny, like we asked a question about.
Okay, so the girl that does the Indian voice, Native American, yelling.
Yeah, the warrior. She's a warrior. Yeah. Now, but she remember a couple.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. I know what you're talking about.
We asked her
armpit hair gets pulled. Yes.
He's playing with her armpit hair.
Oh, that's so gross.
Oh, man. So that stuck out to me. But I feel like it's getting better. 1883 every week is getting better and better.
I've enjoyed the show since the jump. Like, I've really, really liked this show.
Yeah.
So the girl's a little goofy. I don't want to get spoilers. I do like her a lot.
Yeah, I like her.
It's just, I'm ready to refocus on the rest of the crew, too.
Yeah. But how bad is Taylor Sheridan, right, the creator? I'm sure you've caught him a couple of times. How bad is his beard? I feel like it's, like, glued on. I don't know if you
know. Yeah, it's bad, but I also wanted to point out that, so, he's the creator of Yellowstone in 1883. He writes the scripts for the most part.
Yeah.
He puts himself in Yellowstone.
Yeah.
And he makes himself the ultimate rodeo badass, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then he puts himself in 1883 and he makes himself the ultimate Wild West badass. Like,
Lone Ranger.
It reminds me of, remember that Chappelle skit where he says he hopes he gets to write his own biography?
Yeah. Yeah.
And he makes himself like the greatest human ever lived. And Just the same. That's how I picture the creator Taylor doing.
Yeah.
Like his character in 1883 doesn't even really make sense.
Yeah.
Like his whole life exactly. is I just like to kill bad guys.
Yeah. It's funny. He uses a lot of the same characters. I don't know if you've noticed that the cook in 1883 is also like is in Yellowstone, and he's one of like the cow police or whatever they're called. That guy is also in Mayor of Kingstown. He's a jailer in Mayor of Kingstown.
That's funny.
But
that's
real. Yeah. So
1883 is really good though.
Yeah.
Paramount Plus in general. I'm enjoying Paramount Plus. And on my list, I have something random from Paramount Plus that I was watching.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so other than 1883, all of our TV time, every hour, every 30 minutes we get is going to Ozark right now. So we're hooked in tight. We've been blowing through it. So we are, season 3. Episode 9. So season 3 is about to end. We got about an episode and a half left to watch. 2 episodes, I guess. And then we're about to hit season 4. So,
okay.
So we're hooked into Ozark. So other than 1883, Ozark is really the only thing I've been watching when I have time.
All right. So I'm watching Peacemaker on HBO Max. It ends tonight. I need to go watch the finale. It's been amazing. I know I've talked about it. For those that don't know, Peacemaker is a superhero show on HBO Max.
I thought it was a movie. It's a show, huh?
It's a show. And the best way to describe it is if Captain America and Johnny Lawrence from Cobra Kai were like mixed together. So it's like a Captain America stuck in the 80s. He was raised by an asshole racist with a mullet father. He wants to be a good dude, but he's also kind of a dude, you know, douche. It's a action comedy, I would call it. He's got a pet eagle that listens to him. extremely rated R. Like, oh my. I know I said superhero movie or show, but do not let your kids watch this. It's nuts. And what's cool about it is if you know nothing about superheroes or the story, you don't need to. You can just watch the show.
Awesome.
It's very much a standalone show. It's hilarious. It's such an amazing show. Even the opening credits. There's a song in the beginning. You know, every show has a song.
Yeah.
Even that's amazing. It's probably the only show where I don't hit skip intro.
Oh, I always skip the
intro. Yeah, you won't skip the intro.
Not that one.
So that ends. I think there's 8 episodes. It just got renewed for season 2, which obviously it's amazing. So that's with John Cena, which. And it's funny because the role fits him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He doesn't have to be a serious actor. Yeah. He doesn't have to be a serious actor. He's kind of a cornball-ish, but he's supposed to be cornball-ish, but rated R version. It's crazy. Abbott Elementary on ABC, still probably the best show, best sitcom on TV. It's so good. And it's just it's one of those shows I can easily see it becoming as big as like Modern Family or The Office.
Oh, wow.
It's that good. It is that good. And it's something I need to rewatch because I think I caught all the jokes and then I'll go on Twitter and like Shea Serrano's retweeting jokes. And I'm like, oh, I didn't catch that. Or I need to go back. And he's like the biggest supporter of that show. If you follow Shea Serrano, for those that don't know, he's an author from San Antonio, real famous. We've talked about him many times. The actors and actresses from the show now respond to him when he's talking about Abbott Elementary.
And they're
funny responses. They're really good. They're kind of in character. What I'm watching on Paramount Plus, it's called The Real Mad Men. Did you ever watch the show Mad Men?
No, that's on my list. Like I gotta dig into
it. I can see you loving it, Mouse. I could really see you really like deep diving and thinking this is the best thing ever. It's one of my favorite shows. For those that don't know, it was on A&E about 5-6 years ago it ended. It's about advertisement people, men and women, in the 60s. And it it goes from like the 50s kind of Happy Days version of America, and it shows how America was evolving into like the hippie 60s and all that stuff. It shows how these characters had to grow or they didn't grow, or it's a very deep show. It's really good. So, but I'm not talking about Mad Men. This thing on Paramount Plus is called The Real Mad Men. So it's talking about the real advertisers of that era. It's kind of a documentary about advertising in America mixed in with talking about how it relates to the show. So basically the show got a lot of things right. And the real people are talking about advertisement and they're talking about the show and it kind of mixes together. So it's a documentary about two things at once. And it's really well done. I'm on episode 3. I don't know how many there are, but it's a really well done show. And the last thing I watched, I think this came out last night. I jumped on it early, but I'm already seeing it blowing up on social media. It's the Kanye West documentary on Netflix.
Oh, I saw that. I didn't know if that was new. Yeah.
It's brand new. It's called Genius. So just if you're looking for it, it's J-E-E-N-Y-U-S. Genius.
It's about like two other rappers or something like that?
No. Not at all.
Oh.
So, first of all, it's the only Netflix show I've ever remembered. They're dropping one episode at a time.
Oh, wow.
There's only one episode of this show so far on Netflix. It's basically the beginning of Kanye's career.
Okay.
Now, what makes this documentary, why it's going to be good, obviously Kanye West is a very interesting person, but the guy that's directing this documentary and filming it, he started filming Kanye West right when he started becoming a rapper and producer. It's almost like he knew. And he says this. He's like, I just had to film him because I thought, okay, this guy's going to be something special. So you're getting an in-depth documentary in real time with a ton of real footage. That's what makes it good. Like there's a ton of footage of him with his mom when he's trying to get a record deal. There's footage of him selling beats to people at Rockefeller. There's even footage of him going home to Chicago before he's real famous. Like he's already produced the Blueprint album. And there's these two guys that are in Chicago that helped him learn how to produce. And he sees them for lunch and it's all love. And then he turns on the radio and that guy's got a diss song on Kanye.
Oh, wow.
And then Kanye finds him in the streets and rolls up on him. And it's all on camera. The first episode goes from Kanye starting off in Chicago all the way to him getting a record deal. So he hasn't put out anything yet. The footage is so good. It shows him recording one song, which made it on his first CD. He runs into Rockefeller Studios and he plays it for everybody in the office. Wow. And I'm not saying he plays it once and turns up the volume. He goes into every office, puts it in their speaker and plays it. So you hear it like 5 or 6 times. It's so good because of the footage. And I have high hopes for the rest of the series. Obviously I'm sure it gets into the craziness that he is now, but
yeah,
right now I'm loving the creativity of him starting off. Cause that's the Kanye I like, you know, the first few albums and just the era of hip hop. You're seeing a bunch of stars like, you know, Jay-Z, Mos Def, Scarface has a good role in this first episode.
Oh, wow.
So it's really, really good. I couldn't recommend it enough.
Yeah, I saw that pop up on my Netflix and it was like, what is that? And I saw something about Kanye. I didn't even know how to pronounce it. I was like, what is this? I don't even know what it's called. How you say that title.
It took
title.
Me a while because I'm not cool anymore. I'm an old man like we talked about. I was like, oh, genius. That's what he's trying to say.
Yeah.
Then I felt cool again.
Yeah.
All right. Before we go, we do have something new to review. And I want to say that I want to give a shout out to Rudy J from ESPN, San Antonio Sports Star Radio. I was driving to work And I read a tweet from him, and he says, I don't know why y'all are giving your money to Starbucks when there's so many good coffee shops. So I said, okay, what I want to review for this week is a new coffee shop, something we haven't done yet. We have plenty of good ones. And if you go on our Instagram page, at Spurs and Salsa, you'll see plenty of coffee shops, restaurants, breweries, all kinds of anything local, we got it. But I said, all right, let me try something new. So I went to a place off of Huebner, very close to, if you know where Tim Duncan's body shop is, auto shop.
Oh, yeah.
It's real close to there. It's in between like USAA and the Spurs practice arena on Huebner. It's called Archie's. It's called Archie's Fine Coffee and CBD. Now, I didn't partake in CBD. Again, I'm an old dork. I don't know much about it. I really don't. But I had, I bought coffee and my wife got a chai latte. She said it was one of the best she's ever had. She was blown away by how good it was. And I got the house coffee and it was extremely good as well. You walk in there. I know maybe the CBD might scare a few people, but it looks like a regular coffee shop. The CBD stuff's on the side. It's a very nice building. It's connected to Alamo Biscuit, which is a place I think we reviewed before a couple of years ago. Again, it's called Archie's Fine Coffee and CBD. Really, really good. Again, my wife was like, this is one of the better ones. And we've been to some great places here in town. But the staff's friendly. I looked on their website. It appears that everything that they use to make their drinks is all local. So it's very much one of those, you know, locally grown, locally, you know, harvested, all that. So it's, of all the things we've done for local business, I think this is one of the more deeper rooted San Antonio businesses. I'll post a picture of my wife's chai latte on our Instagram page, but yeah, Archie's Coffee and CBD. It was really good. It's a place I will go back to.
Did they have a drive through?
No, you do have to walk in.
You got
to
go in.
You got to go in. They made my drink really quick, like extremely fast. I didn't even have time to really like peek into the CBD stuff. If you're somebody that uses CBD stuff for your pets, like treats, things like that, they had that stuff. Plenty of drinks. The drink menu's really big. And I think I saw that they have a taco vendor go in on Tuesdays and Thursdays. I didn't get a good look at who it was, because again, they made my drink so quick. They make it from scratch, but they made them quick. But very cool place. Wi-Fi. They do. A lot of people were in there studying, or doing work, you know, a laptop. I think they encourage that. So if that's something you're looking for, I know a lot of us work from home now, and if you want to get out of the house and work somewhere else, that's a spot for you too. But I was really impressed. I'm glad I did it. I'm glad Rudy J put that in my head. It all worked out for the podcast, and I'm definitely going back to Archie's very, very soon. But that's all I got. If you're listening to this podcast, make sure you subscribe. Make sure you give us a good review. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. Whatever floats your boat, we're on there. We will be having, last week I said we'll be having guests. We will have guests again. I wanted to give me and Mouse the time, you know, some alone time. It's been a while. Josh has been here. But yeah, we'll definitely have some guests. I want to get someone to talk Spurs real soon, within the next 2 weeks. So keep an eye out for that. Again, we'll dive more into the rest of the Cowboys free agents, not just who I want to cut.
I know.
We'll preview the rest of the rodeo road trip, maybe deep dive into how Primo's doing, and everything else that comes up. I'm sure something will come up that's unexpected. But until then, go Spurs, go.